Hello, everyone out there in the YouTubes or on the podcast areas that you're listening to this. I am Cindy Seidelman, joining you once again with another exciting edition of the GumboCast. This time around on the GumboCast, we are talking the revival of Supermarket Sweep as a host and Leslie Jones. We also have controversy surrounding Dancing with the Stars and its inclusion of a certain figure who used to work in the Trump White House, and more interesting discussions along the way. And joining alongside me is my better half, Jessica Brand. And I mean better half in that she's smarter and wiser than I am, not in that type of sense. Both of us are still painfully single.
Yeah, well, telling you what to do, you know, if you listen to The Sound of Music. But yes, not really much on the stats front of late, but always lots of things to know, always lots of things to share with the world about what's been going on. And that's always been my goal, too. Okay, I love to educate people because there's an opportunity to spread information. And with the great amount of misinformation that pervades everywhere in our world, well, I mean, if we can avoid that, we'll make a better educated society and lead ourselves to better decisions.
One can only hope. But sometimes I'm fearful. But you know what? That's what happens. So, having this little time to chit-chat before we get to the major news. So what have you been up to these past couple of days? Have you ever caught yourself in any YouTube wormholes? Like you'd watch one video and then you're just addicted to anything that's similar to it?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting you mentioned that because I'm kind of multitasking. So I love arcade videos and I'm eventually going to make a channel about that. It's called Clawsom. So, but I love arcade videos from everyone. And basically, I'll watch these folks, and I have a connection with some folks who have like 250,000 subscribers. Check them out. They're called the Craniacs. They make really fun videos that you can laugh at. Good people. But that's kind of my wormhole, because I always try to find the strategy, and, you know, I make people laugh at the same time and make them happy. So that's my perfect blend. And then my latest binge currently has to be 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. Favorite show that's on TV right now. Ever. Like,
yeah, it's kind of dark. Of 13 Reasons
Why. I love the dark.
I know you do.
Where my brain spaces out.
Woof. I've seen the first couple of seasons of 13 Reasons Why. I haven't seen season 3 yet because I know it just dropped a couple of days ago, I do believe, at the time of recording. But my binge has been a little weird. Because before that, I was binge-watching a lot of classic Bill Cullum Price is Right. Which I always found really exciting, so I've been trying to find a whole bunch of episodes. Especially since we found that YouTuber who's doing a lot of colorization of the black and white shows.
Yeah, that's kind of neat to see, because I've always thought when I see really old game shows, like, I mean, I realized the technology was limited and everything, but I always wondered what it was like to be, like, in the studio to see the colors as they were. I mean, you know, just to see it from the perspective of the times.
Yeah, I always thought that, too. We know what Password's set looked like when they had the second set. Because right. That was completely in color. And there are photos of Price is Right's set back near the end of its run on NBC. Then you have what I thought was the most interesting was that colorizing What's My Line.
One thing that would be hard to colorize, I think, just because of the nature of the show, was the original Supermarket Sweep, because, you know, it traveled from town to town, so.
Yeah, and I honestly think that the show taped in black and white anyways.
Yeah, probably did.
Because,
and even if it didn't.
Yeah. Another show I thought would be interesting to see in color was, it was a short-lived show, but I think it would have looked beautiful in color. It was a show called Treasure Isle. It was hosted by John Bartholomew Tucker. And it's the first ever game show to tape in an area outside of New York or Los Angeles. Because it taped in Florida. It taped at some resort in Florida. And you know the game shows that had, you know, you won time and then you had to do the bonus game in that specific amount of time?
Right.
They had that type of bonus game. I think it was one of the first ones that did it. Because the amount of time you won, the amount of time you earned in the front game became the bonus time that you had at the end where you had to do some tasks in order to find treasure boxes. And in those treasure boxes are prizes. And it just looked fantastic, you know. And for a show that was in the 60s, it was ahead of its time for what it did.
Yeah, you could see, you could definitely see a mechanic like that in today's shows. I certainly could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like Paradise Run. There was some Treasure Isle influences. Do I see a show like Treasure Isle working again? Probably not. Would it be fun to see, though? Sure.
And there's nothing to say you can't adapt formats of a given show and revive them into a new show. That happens all the time.
Yeah, I could see it working for kids, basically. Treasure Isle, any of these adventure shows, I think would be great for families or kids. Like, it kind of reminds me of how there was this show called Video Village in 68-62 with Monty Hall. It got revived in 1964 or 5 as Shenanigans with Stubby K, and it became a kids game show where they would win shenanigans, which would be turned into the equivalent of SNH trading stamps. Like, I think one shenaniganza was the equivalent to, like, 100 trading stamps. So, you could win. So, the kids who walked away with about 2,000 to 3,000 shenaniganzas walked away with quite a good chunk of change. But now I get to talk about the wormhole that I've been sucked into, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit it. I've been addicted to More Eclipse.
Oh, yeah?
That's yeah.
There's certainly a lot of those that are certainly reaction and meme-worthy.
There's still meme-worthy, even the new ones, because they do have a YouTube channel. Mori Povich does have a YouTube channel where they put up a whole bunch of these lie detector tests and DNA tests. And I got stuck in this wormhole because my brother told me about a certain YouTuber, I'm blanking on their name, who riffed on a video of all the of you are not the father clips, or you are the father clips of white people, because it's a mix of their of different races. I think I worded that right. If not, I apologize. And I honestly do. But there was this one clip at the end where this girl came on the show 9 times prior. She wanted to know who was the father of one of her children. And guess what the results were the first 9 times?
Who is that?
You are not the father. You are not the father. You are not the father. You know, all these 9 times. Then few years later, she comes back on the show for the 10th time, and she has 2 other children. And she's hoping that this time, this guy who has been raising these kids, taking care of these kids, is not the father. He's not a bad guy, from what I can tell from the clip. But she just wants him out of her life. Maury riffs, you know you've been wrong all this time, all these times. And even Maury says, I think you're wrong this time. And then Maury goes, when it comes to 4-year-old men, you are the father.
Oh, jeez.
And then she goes, no! No! And then Maury goes, and I love this line. Oh, the girl's name is Tanika. I think Tanika or something like that. He goes, "You've been on the show 9 times and you haven't heard you are the father. And now you hear you are the father and you're not happy about it?"
Oh, jeez.
And then comes with the second kid. He goes, "You are the father." So he's the father of both the kids that he's been raising.
Oof. Oof. Can we get what? Can we get the Roblox sound in there? We kind of need it for that.
And then she tells the guy, "I want you out of my life." And he has the perfect quip. "I'll get out of yours, but there's no way in hell I'm getting out of those kids' lives."
Oh, jeez.
So, I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was, like, a after-the-show thing that's on the Maury YouTube channel. But, you know what? Good on that guy. He's probably still raising those kids. Probably a little embarrassed he even had to go on Maury. But if he's raising those kids, like, the way he's been raising those kids, good on him. Like, most of the men who go on Maury are just deadbeats.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the one chance in the shining sun, so...
Especially with somebody who's been on the show 10 times. Anyway. That's been my wormhole. My little escape from... doing... all of these Dragon Warrior rando commentary stuff. And before I did the show, here's my schedule for today. I called a race at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I was just relaxing, had lunch. You know, I was getting stuff ready to do... I was supposed to tape episode 6 of Game Show Gumbo. Actually, it'd be episode 7. Of Game Show Gumbo, I do believe. 6 or 7. The person who tapes with me, the producer, isn't feeling that well, so we postponed it to Thursday. So we're postponing it to Thursday. I was going to take a nap, but they needed help with calling a race. So that's what I did, and it took 2.5 hours. The seat took about a little over 2 hours. And then I made dinner. And then getting the stuff ready for this. So, yeah, I've had a busy day. So, being a little
exhausted. And still doing this on top of it, wow.
Right, and I have a video from the last Gumbo cast that I'm putting up on YouTube tonight. It has to do with Holtower, if he would have... lasted long, would he have, how long would he still be playing? And speaking of, Holtower was in the news a little bit this past couple of days ago.
Yeah, he's trying to troll the media.
And it was a good troll. Basically what happened in the sports world is that after, now, we have a bone of contention with this between me and you. Andrew Luck, who was a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, retired. His body was too beat up. And he said that the past 4 years have been injury, rehab, pain, injury, rehab, pain, or something to that effect.
Yeah, which checks out, certainly, with the ones he had early on, but not last year. Because I think by the time they actually built a good line last year... between having Braden Smith, between having Costanzo step up a little, Ryan Kelly being healthy, I mean really they had Quinn Nelson, they had such a good draft last year. And that's why Gregson had to go. That's why Ballard was such a good hire.
Yeah. And also Frank Reich, who
yeah, Frank Reich was a great hire. Yeah, I mean that's why Pagano needs to go. Yeah,
Pagano was.
All in chips? More like all out chips.
Yeah.
Because remember, Pagano had a few years ago, I think it was after the loss to the Patriots in 2015, he gave the team all in chips that were like poker chips. It didn't quite work.
No. He went in on a seven deuce offsuit, and everybody else just had pocket rockets, pocket aces. And that's the way that goes. Holzhauer tweeted about it. Trolling the reactionary types out there, saying that I know what it's like to go out on the top of your game. And so he got some blowback from that, from reactionary fans who. You know how Drew Carey called irrational. Their irrational hatred coming from certain parts of the Price is Right fan base as telephone pole screamers?
Oh yeah, that directed back to one specific user. Thankfully, I think that's in the past now with things, but certainly it certainly made some news.
Yeah. Well. Holzhauer was asked about that, and it all comes down to his final Jeopardy wager. And if you want to hear our take on this wager in more detail, there is a it's on episode 2 of the Gumbo Cast, which you could download on the website, or there's a YouTube video on it.
Yeah,
But
spoiler alert, it was the perfect wager.
yep. And he even said as much if you look at the numbers. But Betcher got it right. And there you go. So there you go. It's amazing how we went from just a normal intro to 13 Reasons Why to Treasure Isle to Maury to Andrew Luck. And James Holzhauer. So, we're having a productive show so far.
So far. That's why you listen, right, everybody?
So now, last night, we get the big news. Ever since Fremantle bought Supermarket Sweep from Al Howard Productions in 2018, everybody was wondering, will it come back or not? Are they pushing for it?
And it kind of made sense when you consider that they that Al Howard's was bought out.
Well, as it turns out, we have a host.
Yep.
According to Deadline, who this is the link you gave me. Leslie Jones will host the new Supermarket Sweep reboot for Fremantle, and it's got multiple networks in bargaining. The list includes ABC, NBC, Fox, and Netflix.
And no CBS. Get on the train with this, guys. Everyone else is doing primetime game shows.
I think it's because CBS has tried primetime game shows a lot in a good slot, mind you. And they never work.
Don't think that, aside from Candy Crush, they really haven't done much recently, though. I think they really should try again now. Because back in the day, I don't think it would have been the appropriate thing to do, but that's very trendy to do currently.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, that's the key thing.
But I think another reason CBS doesn't do it is because they've dedicated a lot of their schedule to Big Brother. And they're also dedicating a lot of their summer schedule to Love Island, which is getting a second season. Which proves how wrong we were in our summer game show primer, because
Yeah,
I
the
thought it was one and
predictions
done.
fell. Yeah, I mean that felt like a formality. Nope.
And then we were wrong. It's got season two in next summer. So I don't think it's CBS. Not wanting to try it, it's just that they don't have room for it. And with them burning off Million Dollar Mile, which was hyped during the Super Bowl, I guess they're just gonna stick with what they got, which is understandable. And plus, they got reruns of Blue Bloods, which is highly rated. They got all these high rated dramas and cop shows and procedurals and sitcoms that they could have. So it's not a matter of getting it. It's just they don't want it. It's that market inefficiency over the summer.
Yeah.
So Leslie Jones is going to host after she left SNL, which honestly, good. Because SNL has been terrible for the past 15 years. And so she'll be hosting. And remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? How Fremantle is more than happy to help make a game show if you put some skin in the game? Leslie Jones is executive producing Supermarket Sweep. So she's got some skin in the game.
Yep. I'm just wondering what, I'm just wondering what her thoughts are for all this. Like, I know we'll find out, but, like, she apparently did grow up with the show, which you don't hear that a lot about with a lot of these hosts, which is certainly different, that they would put that in a press release. I thought that was interesting, at least.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we had Elizabeth Banks. And I think this Supermarket Sweep will mirror Elizabeth Banks, Pressure Luck with Elizabeth Banks, because Elizabeth Banks, in interviews, grew up with Pressure Luck, not necessarily from CBS, but mainly from USA. From its reruns on USA. So, it's going to be... I have high hopes for this. Especially... What I feel, though, is that it will probably take a Wednesday night time slot, and it replaces Card Sharks.
Hmm. I think Netflix is going to win the bid. I really do. Because they're trying so many different things.
Right, because the list includes ABC, NBC, Fox, and Netflix. Well, let's just get rid of Fox right now. They're not going to have the money to do it.
They might, but I don't think they'll win the bid. I don't think they'll be interested enough. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. It's because they don't have... It's another example of where the hell are you going to put it?
Yeah. Is that too? And maybe it's just service to say, okay, we're bidding on this property. Check us out. It's to stay relevant. I mean, that happens sometimes.
Yep. And NBC is probably going to make a good bid for it because they want to keep Leslie Jones in the fold because of her stuff with SNL and her work for covering the two most recent Olympic Games.
Yep. And then ABC would want her because, you know, she's on Pyramid a decent amount, and then they could do a kind of a game show crossover. Like, who knows?
That's right. It's what they did with Joel McHale a lot this year because he was on Pyramid. He was on To Tell the Truth, I think, twice.
And they do that with Baldwin a lot, so...
Mm-hmm.
Baldwin was on Pyramid this year, so...
Yep. And she was the one pushing for Supermarket Sweep. And Netflix, you said, is a good contender. I think so. That is a possibility because she's already in business with Netflix on a comedy special. So she could be like, I'll do the comedy special for you, but you gotta take this along as well.
Yeah, package deal.
And would be an interesting revenue for Fremantle. And could cause problems. Here's, and this is why I'm thinking it's going to be ABC or NBC.
Alright.
Because Netflix might be in the discussion, but that could piss off a partner that Fremantle has right now in Amazon Prime. Because a lot of Fremantle shows are on Amazon Prime.
Including Supermarket Sweep, notably.
60 episodes worth of Supermarket Sweep, including 40 that are never on Buzzard because they're
Yeah.
from 2000. So, if I were a betting woman, I would say ABC or NBC.
I'm gonna stick with Netflix. I think their bid is just going to be too crazy. I think that's what it is. I think they just have so much money that they can throw at this that's gonna be impossible to top.
And you
And if
gotta
anything,
wonder when
that's
that
kind
is
of
gonna
good as
come
a
from.
viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would like that as a viewer because that means I can smash through all the episodes at once, so.
I did that with Supermarket Sweep on
Oh
Amazon Prime.
yeah, definitely. That was great about that too. So as soon as those 2001 goes up, oh, I'm gonna watch like four or five of these a day. Boop, 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 boop. Yep.
And speaking of Supermarket Sweep, the UK version that's going to be on ITV2 of Ryan Clark Neal just had a commercial come out for it. It is a revival of the UK version, which I am pretty blunt on that it is nowhere near as good as the US version.
I mean, I've seen the UK original version, and it's, I mean, honestly, it feels cramped. Like they needed a bigger stage.
Like, here is my problem with the UK version, and I talked about this on an old web show called US versus UK, which is on Multimedia Mouth. I don't know if the link is still up. But the problem that I had with the UK version is that it felt like you were shopping in a bodega.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely could see that.
Whereas, especially since the American version looked like a supermarket.
Yeah, like Matt Ottinger was telling me a really great story about the US one that from certain angles he said, because he was on the set, he told me that from certain angles he couldn't tell that he wasn't in an actual supermarket. And then, of course, he went on to tell a story about how the soda started to escape from the cans after 3 years of holding use. Because they actually had genuine, bottles for a while, and then they just had a huge mess to clean up. Apparently, like in 1993 or 92. But it's like it got everywhere. Like they had no idea about how if you keep soda around that long, it actually will escape the bottle. Some cool science about that, but yikes.
And then there's the Canadian version, and it tried to be a mix of both the UK and the US version, and it was just terrible.
Ugh. And I don't like, oh, let's choose your prize. Oh, like that part just felt, I don't know, you know what it reminded me of? And it's kind of weird because they didn't do this, but it felt like something out of Save to Win.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Well, not exactly as it was,
Not.
but it was a crapshoot.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what really got me was how cheap the prizes were. Sure, the top prize was 5,000, but otherwise you would like get maid service for a couple of months. And you can't forget that Nabob coffee. Like, every show they would plug Nabob or Voortman or certain things. It never felt like a real supermarket.
Yeah. And I hope they keep that feeling, really. Because I mean, I realize supermarkets have changed a lot and they really should try to modernize it in that respect. But you want it to feel like you're actually at the store. Like, I mean, that's I mean, because if they kept it at the 90s levels and so forth, it wouldn't feel like you're at the store. I mean, that's just it has been nearly 17 years since the show's been on. So keeping it feeling like you're there. I just hope they have, and I don't know how you would work this. At the stores around here, you have a robot that cleans the floors. I hope they work that into something, like a robot cleaner.
Or just if you have the robot cleaner, just have stick some envelopes on it.
Yeah, stick some envelopes on it, or have it just be a bonus. Like, that would work too. Like, they have the knight you could roll for a long time in the lifetime version, so.
But yeah, I'm honestly looking forward to it.
I really am. I'm actually gonna.
And the reason I'm looking forward to it is that the shows that have executive producers who have skin in the game will make the show the best that it could be. Elizabeth Banks did it.
Yeah, I love Press Your Luck now. I'm gonna try out for both of these shows. Like, this is just like pretty much every game show has been revived. Every single one. And it's like, what? Like, I can't even watch all of these because with the learning and studying I do every night, I don't have time for all of this because there's too much good content. Like, what a problem to have, right?
Yep, and that's why there's Game Show Gumbo, folks.
Yep.
We watch it so you don't have to.
But you still should and can if
Yeah.
you want.
New episode coming August 31st or September 1st. Just let everybody know. So watch for it. It'll be a special salute to the 99 game show boom. So, we're going to start with something happy. We're going to stick with the topic of ABC loosely. Because the new cast list of Dancing with the Stars came out. And it raised some ire, so to speak, especially with one of the cast members. So, we're going to play a game, Jessica.
All right.
I am going to give you a star. You tell me what they're famous for.
All right.
Some of these are easy, some of these are hard.
Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
All right. Lauren Alaina.
I think she's a singer.
Do you know what style?
Isn't she? I'm trying to think. I want to say. I know she was on Idol. I'm trying to think. I think she does country. I'm not positive.
That is right, country music star.
Yeah.
Christie Brinkley.
Oh, jeez. Now, see, this one should be easy. Like, go figure. Yeah, Christie Brinkley, I associate with modeling historically, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Supermodel.
Okay.
Ally Brooke.
Well, she's a singer, too.
Hannah Brown.
Hannah Brown, what is this? A random name generator now? Come on. Like, I mean, bro, that is such a generic name. Oh, jeez, I know. I'm gonna guess model, honestly, at this point.
Well, I've accepted nobody, but she's from The Bachelorette.
Okay.
See, gotta keep it in-house.
What? Hang on, now, Hannah Brown, was she the one that, No, I don't think. Was she the one on, America Talks with what's the guy, with Baron Cohen? Was she the one on there with him?
Sacha
No, I
Baron
don't think
Cohen?
so.
No.
Yeah, America, yeah. I don't think he was on that, no.
No.
But they had someone from The Bachelorette on there. That was.
Okay. Karamo Brown.
Isn't he from Queer Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate Flannery.
She's an actress.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, he was in The Office. Yeah.
Yep. You better get this one right. I
All right.
swear, you better get this one right.
I should get it wrong just to piss you off.
I will accept one of two answers.
All right.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, obviously the Ravens linebacker, 26th pick in 1996, two-time Super Bowl champion.
An alleged murderer.
Yeah. I figured that'd be the other one, though. But, I mean, no, I mean, Ray Lewis is an interesting guy for dancing. I kind of like when they have giant football players on these, just because you get to see how absolutely swole these guys are compared to the average population, even when they're inactive for a while.
And they usually win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it, though. When you talk, especially football and hockey in particular, your positioning has to be so exact on the plays that you run, without getting into specific schemes. But because it applies here, I mean, your footwork has to be perfect so you get the right coverage and you know the right place to be ahead of time. There are certainly some parallels, and I think that's kind of what makes football and hockey in particular notable to watch, because there really is an art in how the players move.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, Kel Mitchell.
Alright, well, I mean, isn't he of Keenan and Kel? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yep. Lamar Odom.
Oh, he alright, well, basketball player. He went to the school I went to, University of Rhode Island. Third overall pick by the Clippers in 1998. Actually, as part of the Shaquille O'Neal deal to bring Shaq to Miami. Also played a little bit with the Mavericks for a second-round pick in 2011. And also joined back with the Clippers for part of 2013. And, of course, you have the Kardashian connection.
Because we can never escape them. James Vanderbeek.
Hashtag Canadian connection. Jalen Vanderbeek, you said?
James Vanderbeek.
Oh, James Vanderbeek. I want to say, isn't he in Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star of Dawson's Creek. He was also on Pyramid earlier this year.
That's right. Yeah.
Mary Wilson.
Oh, I love people with generic names. Let's just guess Singer.
Yep. Singer, do you know which famous group?
I want to say he's with the Supremes.
How did you get that?
Well, I mean, that's one of those things that you pick up, right? Honestly, there's only so many facts you can come across. So. Mm-hmm.
And finally, the one that's causing all the controversy, Sean Spicer.
The press secretary.
Yep. Former Trump White House press secretary.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I get why people have some issues potentially with politics without going into my own. But what's the issue here? I don't get why this by itself is controversial. If he winds up being inappropriate, sure. But this, I guess don't think this is, I don't think this is as big of controversy as it's been made out to be.
Well, it might not be as what you thought out to be, but it did almost cost Dancing Stars their host.
Yeah.
That's why it's controversial. Because Tom Bergeron spoke out against it. I need to find the actual tweet. But a Cliff Notes version of Bergeron says, "Hope that the 28th season be a joyful respite from our exhausting political climate and free of inevitably divisive bookings from any party affiliations." In fact, Bergeron said he left lunch with the show's new executive producer, Andrew Linares, a few months ago and thought they were in agreement. Subsequently, Bergeron continued, "A decision was made, as we often say in Hollywood, go in a different direction." Now, essentially, I see this as a ratings ploy.
It is, but it's not unique. It's not the first time. Consider that Tom DeLay and Rick Perry were both on, and Omarosa Magnol was also on as well, if you want to talk about previous Trump administration members being on Dancing with the Stars.
Right, but the thing was, Omarosa was on Dancing with the Stars before she was part of the Trump administration. This was still when she was fresh off the mind of The Apprentice, and when she had her own dating show called The Ultimate Merger. Yeah. I forget when that was a thing. It had to be like in the early 2010s. But needless to say, Bergeron's not happy. So if you see Bergeron not being his usual cheerful self this season, You know why. And the thing is, this is after Dancing with the Stars took a year off. I mean, a lot of people thought Dancing with the Stars is going to be canceled.
I mean, they have to try to do something to stay afloat, I would think.
Yeah.
That's the hope. I mean, money wins, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the first time there's Rick Perry, but there's also, they had somebody, I think, a few years ago, who's causing a lot of headaches right now, and that is Tucker Carlson, who was also on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago. I think was on the same season as Randy Williams was on, and Tucker Carlson was eliminated first. I think this will probably be the same thing, and Spicer will be eliminated first. Because remember, American people have a vote, and I'll tell you right now, from what I've read, people on the right, not a fan of Spicer after what he's been doing over the past couple of months. This is why I hate this topic, but we have to talk about it. Well, we don't have to talk about it, but it's one of the few news things going on right now.
Yeah, it is a slow week, guys, so. I mean, aside from Supermarket Sweep, but that's only one story. We didn't have a whole depth of options.
No, there's one other, and then we have some other stuff that we're going to talk about. To me, like I said earlier, it's a ratings ploy. But I guess it's trying to be more image rebuilding. Like, didn't we see Ryan Lochte on Dancing with the Stars a couple of years ago after he acted like a jackass in the Olympics in 2016?
I think you're right, but that kind of is the point of it, though. Don't you want to see the shock value? Like, a lot of times that appeals to people. That's how you deliver news now. That's why talk radio does it, for instance.
Yeah, but usually it's talk radio causing those problems.
Yeah. I mean, the underlying point, I think, is the same, though, that you just want to incite the controversy and bring it to your viewers.
Mm-hmm. And you are going to get the reactionary tweets because of Spicer. Bill Prater, who was the executive producer of The Big Bang Theory, which ended its run this year, said Sean Spicer lied repeatedly to the American public and literally defended Hitler. ABC Network, yes, but can he trot Foxtrot 2 in a seat? Now, this is my one political bent, and we'll move on. And you can respond to this. Policy-wise, he's more Herbert Hoover. Because Herbert Hoover tried to tariff his way out of the Great Depression, and it made it worse. And that's what I'm seeing with Trump. He's trying to tariff his way out of it, and it's going to make it worse. Especially because there are other superpowers out there now, like China, and it's going to cause a massive headache, and I could see the Dow, and there's this recession that people says are coming that if these tariffs get put in place, then it's going to start. Because I see other countries taking their business elsewhere.
Give it time. There was supposed to be a recession a few years ago. By basically any economic prevention measure, you look at what the inflation rates were, you look at what the yield curves were.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the market really kept it afloat because business people and stockholders and shareholders didn't want to accept what was actually going on. And I think they're going to have to keep up this facade a little bit longer because of the lack of the positions internally within the businesses that is going on right now. And the thing is, too, you have to remember about economies. The actions you see are usually, regardless if you're, let's say, if you're someone who believes in measures of austerities, if you believe in Keynesian economics, that They take a few years to take true effect. Like, let's say you're talking about Obama's Cash for Clunkers program in 2009, for instance. We didn't see the true effects of that as much as it was a short-term boost for these car companies and for the people who benefited from it. You didn't really see the ripple be that positively or negatively for a few years down the line, because economies are going to take time to react, because obviously the effects of what you make within a given economy are not immediate. Like, let's say you skip a stone, right? And it makes one little ripple. But eventually, because of symmetric circles, it's going to spread out wider. And eventually, kind of like a plant, it has to grow and take time to take force. So I don't think you see an economic downturn in the near term in that respect. And really, I think the stock market, more than anything, and the T-bond market really represents that. And I check what's going on with these companies, and I talk about, and I look at what companies like Verizon, like, I mean, I have issues with the Dow as a metric, but we're going to talk about Verizon because it's in a lot of the big ones. I believe it's still in the Dow. I know it's an S&P 500. But this is a company that keeps overspending in research and development and not finding what it needs. But it keeps on going up. And I think that's emblematic of what the market is right now in our country. And that's
Interesting.
absolutely apolitical. My thoughts are very specific about how I would run an economy. They're not for this, but obviously, if you want to DM me, I'll be happy to answer them. And they're not what you would think, certainly, given who I am. I'll say that much.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna do a quick story that I just found this.
All right.
And it has to do with one of my favorite game slash reality shows, Hell's Kitchen. And it has to deal with last year's winner, Ariel Fox, who was third place in season six, which had the best final six. Because all of them were fantastic. It was rookies versus veterans, and she won, and her job was her prize, aside from $250,000, was the executive chef job at Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen restaurant at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. She turned it down. Instead, she went back to her job as concept executive chef for Dos Caminos, which has five restaurants in and around Manhattan. So I guess she won because she wanted to. And this also talks about the plight that we talked about last time with Fox. Because they have seasons 18 and 19 in the can. And taping started last spring. So earlier in the year. And we found out a couple of things are happening.
All
Jay
right.
Santos, who was the runner-up in season seven, which was another great season, replaced Jockey as the blue team's as the sous chef. For the blue team, normally the men's team. But the thing is, normally it's on Friday nights. Guess what? The usual Friday night
Yeah.
time slot is taken up by WWE SmackDown Live.
So where do they put it? No, I mean, that's the same question we had last time, right? So.
Yeah, because I was wondering, did they tape? And it turns out, yes, they did. They taped 19 and 20. The problem is now, I don't. Maybe you hold it for mid-season. You do it in January when one of your other shows during the week fail. And I think that's why they tape two seasons in advance, because of Ramsay's schedule. So my thinking is it'll probably go back in its old Thursday night time slot in January 2020. The problem now becomes, like we said 2 weeks ago, what are you going to do with everything else? And honestly, it looks like they're going to run into a problem where they don't know where to put it. And they might throw their hands up and give up. So, yeah. Think we'll talk about those in 2 weeks. You don't get
Yeah,
time for Christmas.
we'll find out what's been going on for sure, because there's certainly some matters to be finalized in this respect.
We're going to talk about one more thing that we got some questions we need to address, some viewer
Okay.
Q&A. We're going to play the feud.
All right. Get ready for action.
Yes. What is I need to look this up. What is the official language of Ghana?
I believe it has multiple for what that's worth. Let's see, it's English and Akan, I believe, from what I'm looking at. Let me see. English is the official one.
Yep.
So government sponsored languages, yeah, there's official for English, and then regional is Akuam Twi, Asante Twi, A Dagar, Dagabani, Dangma, Ga, Gwanya, Kesem, Font, and Nizema.
And according to broadcasting and cable, Steve Harvey is going to put some skin in the game because he's going to be executive producing versions in Ghana and South Africa. And he will host both versions. And he says in a statement, "Bringing Family Feud to Africa has long been a dream of mine. I believe Family Feud will become a household name for local South African and Ghanaian families. And this is just the beginning in Africa. I expect the show to lead to multiple media and business projects in and throughout the continent." They will be produced by Fremantle's local business partner in Africa, Rapid Blue, who does stuff for the BBC Studios. And they've also produced localized African versions of Dancing with the Stars, X Factor, Got Talent, Shark Tank, and Come Dine with Me, Project One Way, First Dates, among others. So that's interesting. So Steve Harvey loses his talk show. He loses Thunderdome. And he loses Little Big Shots. And he's sticking with the show that brought him back to prominence, Family Feud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his brand is starting to die off a little. I mean, not. I mean, because. I mean, there's only so long you can really be at the top of the mountain. He's still very high on the mountain. I just wouldn't say at its precipice. So if he goes international, that's probably a good way to try to get, exponential growth. Because, we talk about the life cycle of a business, and in this case, it's more like a Q rating and a person than a business, but the same underlying concept applies. Because eventually, theoretically, of a successful business, it'll hit exposition, it'll hit its growth, it'll hit its peak, and as it slides down, you can have decay or growth. And there are obviously actions or inactions that lead to that. He believes that branching out globally will benefit like him like that. And I think for the small amount of risk it involves and for the upside it can possibly provide, why not?
Yeah. All right. To me, I think he'll do well. I just don't know with. I've never been good at tracking international formats or national versions of American formats. Some that haven't done that well in the States do really well, like in the UK, Catchphrase only lasted 4 months, in America lasted for years, lasted for 16 years. Then you have Strike It Rich, which lasted a year here, lasts 14 in the UK. And oddly enough, South Africa had a version of Strike It Rich as well. So that's even more interesting. But with Harvey, as what we said earlier, if you have skin in the game, you're more willing to make it the best show it is. And I think that's what's happening. And it's why I think Card Sharks is not that good. Because Joel McHale didn't have any skin in the game.
I wonder if they'll try to change that. Like, I mean, it'd be kind of hard and complicated to do now, but I wonder if you give him more direct control and it benefits, or if it declines from that. So, if it even comes, so.
Right. Because we know Pressure Luck is coming back.
Right.
But I have a feeling Celebrity Family Feud's coming back. Holy Moly's coming back. And they were just announced casting for
season 2. I didn't
think
Holy Moly would do as well as it did. Like, credit where it's due, obviously, but wow.
Like, I love Holy Moly. Even though the season just wrapped up, I could probably turn on Hulu and binge watch all 10 episodes again. And plus, it gives full credit to Stephen Curry, who, and I think Family Food Fight might come back as well, because it's a package deal.
Yeah.
I just received a message from Facebook. It's time for the viewer Q&A. That's what that sound means. Couple of questions we will discuss, and then we'll wrap up for the show. It's been a good one. It's been quick. Some good conversation. We'll start with James Cook, who is on our Facebook page. And he says this. What is with Nickelodeon scheduling a Double Dare this year? I don't mind the celebrity tournaments, but they do a week, vanish for 3 months, do another week, vanish for 3 months, etc., etc. Is this simply Liza's schedule? As much as I like her, if this is the problem, then they either need to have Mark take over or find another host. Perhaps Kel Mitchell, as we talked about earlier, Dancing with the Stars, Josh Server, or Lawyer Biff Denberg, if they want to keep it within the family. The problem is they've already taped all their shows. They've taped the 40. Our good friends Adam Neidiff, who was a researcher, and Stott St. Floor, who's the head stunt coordinator for the show.
Adam Neidiffler. Yeah. Neidiffler. Can we call them that?
Are they the new power couple?
Yeah, exactly. The new power couple. Neidiffler. Whenever time we're referring to those guys for Double Dare. Neidiffler. Yeah. Hashtag Neidiffler, y'all, on Twitter. Get it going.
But they've wrapped, and you can produce a show, but you're at the whim of the schedulers or whoever's in charge.
Yeah, or the company president who thinks a certain show might work better in a certain time. Like, let's say they have a Christmas special. They're not going to air that in September, nor should they.
No, they're going to air it in November. November or December. The other thing is you have to worry about, because all these are themed. So I think they have them all worked out. Like, I have a strong feeling they have a back-to-school week theme, so we're going to probably see that in September.
Oh, yeah, because that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, they've taped all of them. It's just Nickelodeon's going to schedule them how they want to schedule them. It's not the producer's fault, because we've seen this before. Because we've seen shows that get produced, they get ordered, they tape all of their episodes, but some or all of them don't air. Like, we GSN had that with Lie Detectors, remember that show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a... I mean, Price is Right had that for a while this year. Actually, for a while, it's going to be here September 4th, but there was an In Limbo episode that was going to feature a trip to the Dominican Republic, or so we believe. That had no known air date until, like, a few days ago. So, it almost didn't air.
Right. Then there's also the story of Ellen DeGeneres' Heads Up. All 65 episodes were taped. But they never aired here in the States.
Hmm.
A Canadian network aired it.
Yeah, Moment of Truth, I think that applied to as well. We didn't even get the last season of that, if my memory serves.
That's right. Saudi Arabia got season 3, by the way.
Yep. And those are all uploaded now, which is kind of nice, because that show is admittedly a guilty pleasure, so...
Not all episodes are up. There's one episode that is not up.
Oh, yeah?
Episode 9, I don't think, is up.
Hmm.
But everything else is. The thing is, though, episode 9 is the first part of Melanie Williams' run on the show. Her last question is on episode 10, and that's the one where she won the $500,000. And, yes, they did pair. Because Fox was ready to have the show, they paid all the contestants. But Heads Up never aired.
Hmm.
So, I don't know... I'm pretty sure they'll air over the course of the next few months. Because they taped all of these in February or March 2020. And it's going to take some time to air all of them with the way they've done it in tournament format. Because you air them... Because they can't air them once a week like they did. They air them in one-week bursts. And there's precedent for doing it in one-week bursts. There is a Steven Universe. A lot of Cartoon Network shows do this. Air them in one-week bursts. Nickelodeon does this with The Loud House and SpongeBob and all their Nicktoons. Unless you're on SNICK, where, you know, it's weekly because it's Saturday night, then it's not going to air. They normally don't air. So I know iCarly was a SNICK show for its 10-year and 3 years in Wizards of Waverly Place. And Victorious. Alright. Last question, and this one goes back to what I talked about years ago. And I'm glad you're with me for this, because I could use some backup on this. This is from Bobby Crawford. You mentioned on one of your videos that Bob Barker mailed it in during his last 3 seasons as host of The Price is Right, but you never went into detail or discussed examples of how Bob mailed it in. So please elaborate on this on a future episode of GumboCast. Thank you. I say it because it felt like Barker, during that time period, at most points, was a robot. Like, you could splice in Bob from a 2005 episode and a 2007 episode. And they could be interchangeable.
My biggest thing was the fake-outs, which, for a while, were fine. But, let's say you had, like, Grand Game. Alright. If that cream is less than $4.99, you win $10,000. Then what would you, now show us that now? What would you do with the $10,000? Like, it was every time. Like, that's what it was. Every freaking time.
Mm-hmm. And it was like
that's just it.
And everything was a historic moment on The Price is Right.
It's another historic moment. And even the times that weren't. Like, I mean, something I like to do, because I always like his, I'll be honest, I love the concept of historic moments, but it was overused. So, something I do when I look at shows from the last few years of Barker is when he says things were a historic moment. Like, one that sticks out to me in particular, I'm going to get really deep into stuff here. I always like to see if they're correct. My favorite one that sticks out that isn't true is that there's the girl, and I don't know why the show did this. This was brutal. I know your budget was low this point in the year, but ouch. So she bids $12,000 on her showcase, and the actual retail price is $11,999. Oh. But, and of course, Bob's like, it's another historic moment. No, it's not. And I understand they're not going to know every little thing. But it got to be a little bit tiring when... I don't know. Like, not every little thing needs to be celebrated. I mean, I'll say this. It got me interested into some sports stats and stuff like that. But God almighty, make your facts be true. Like, you want to talk about what fake news is in the 2010s? Bob Barker was the fake news of the 21st century. He did it first.
Wow. Year. Yeah. I have one. One of the things that I kind of built the website, Game Show Garbage website off of from Price is Right was something that I call the Yodely Guy Suicide. Now, what that is when somebody blows it completely on cliffhangers. Now, there are different ways you can do this. And it's where you blow it on one item. Could be first, could be last, or it could be second. But it's off by over $25. That's why I call Yodely Guy Suicide.
Yeah.
And Barker did this. I think I actually had this written down on one of my bad bids compilations. Because I think I did three of those. And one I did was this was during the Yodely Guy Suicide induction. There's this girl who way overbid on the first item. And it was something like a fan or something. I don't remember off the top of my head. And I'm kind of too lazy to look it up. And I don't care. But he called it a historic moment on The Price is Right. Because he said it never happened before. Probably happened one other time, but it still had a historic moment. Having documented Yodely Guy suicides and bad playings of cliffhangers for almost 10 years, this happened on Barker's tenure about two other times prior.
I mean, what I recall really is someone who bid $800 on a toy guitar. Barker asked him if that's what he really wanted to bid, and then he lowered it by a few hundred. And of course, yeah. It's a toy guitar.
Yeah, the guy in the early 90s. Giffen. This was 96, 97.
Yeah.
And Bob Barker was like, all right, come on, moving along. We got games to play. We got people to see. You can do it. There he goes. You see, curmudgeonly Barker is best Barker. Like, you have the different eras of Barker, in my opinion. You have from 72 to 70 to 81 when he was living a good life. And this is before 72 to 80. And then Dorothy Jo died, who was Bob Barker's wife. And then, while Barb would still be happy, he became a bit curmudgeonly, mainly because he wanted to bury himself in work. Because he did a show called That's My Line with Mark Goodson, which is notable for James Randi being on that show busting a psychic. And the clip is, I do believe, a full episode of That's My Line is on YouTube. If not that, I know the Randi clip is up there. But you could tell that he was quite curmudgeonly, but still lovable in 82, I want to say 90, when did the Diane Parkinson thing came out?
Oh, jeez. I'm actually not sure. Like, that's the one thing I'm not very good at about with Price history, admittedly. I want to say it was mid-90s, I think, like early 90s.
Yeah, mid-90s. He became a running gag on Talk Soup, though, where, like, they would have a poll, they would have a trivia question. This would happen, or see, Bob Barker comes out and explodes. They will show a picture of Bob Barker coming out of the courtroom, and they would show explosions. I don't know, it's just me binge watching a lot of Talk Soup. And I still do. But then something happened, I want to say after the 30th anniversary show, where everything started to become an historic moment on The Price is Right.
And I don't quite understand why. Like, that's not really going to appeal to most people. It's really just not. So what was the appeal to that?
None, I guess. But yeah. It became where Barker was like an icon. Barker had become a television icon around this time. You had CBS doing all these million-dollar spectaculars. And Bob was getting a lot of adulation from everyone because he was lovable old Bob Barker, 50 years on TV, 80 years old, still kicking strong. Where I'm like, you just ate John McLaughlin stuff. And McLaughlin hosted that show till he died. Like, literally, he hosted that show until he died of cancer. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I think we could summarize after, you know, 7-8 minutes of talking about Barker's last three seasons as he was just trying to push stuff that wasn't true. You couldn't tell the difference between one episode and another episode. You could intersperse stuff from 2005-2007.
Production values were very good. I mean, and they're very good now, too, to be sure. But, I mean, Bob's hosting itself was just... I mean, his heart was in it. I don't think his mind was. That's just a... Or maybe it's the other way around. But, you know, he wasn't altogether with it. And that's probably not his fault. It's probably, you know, age-related at that point. But, I mean, that's the standard we're going by, and that's the question we're being asked. So, we have to be honest about it.
Yep. But, I'm happy with how Price is Right's being run now.
Definitely. I don't know if you've heard about the new Instagram contest that they have. That seems pretty cool.
I think if you win the Instagram contest, you know, you become a contestant.
No, in this case, it's not. Like, they're offering to pay for people's gas, pay for people's rent, so it's literally an at-home pay-the-rent. But they're offering a lot of people that's going to be awarded for, like, every show or something like that now. Mm-hmm. Like, at-home winners. That's kind of inventive to invoke social media like that.
Yeah. It's a far cry from their play-at-home game that they have where you call...
It's the play-at-home game. And what a relic from Deal or No Deal from the 2000s, though. Pick the lucky case and text this number. Standard messaging rates may apply. This is so much better.
They still do that with the new version.
They do. I mean, but, like, come on. Like, I mean, that I thought that was actually really cool when it came out.
Yeah.
15 years ago. Like, I mean, I'm not going to call Windows Vista cool now. No. Technology and innovation and interaction and responding with your clients has changed a lot.
Yeah. Like, I'll say this about the Lucky Case game, because it's no longer text or anything. It's on Twitter. So you're driving up social media stuff. And I will say that is really smart on Deal or No Deal's front to get a social media buzz like that.
I mean, it's automatic responses, and the minimal amount they give away to the publicity and buzz it provides them is incredible. And that's what I think Price is Right is trying to do with what Family Feud has done with hilarious answers and so forth. If you can get related, relatable, tangible social media interaction, no matter what you're marketing in this day and age, that is absolutely a net positive. And that's why, I mean, let's be honest, I'm going to bring up an example about what I did today. Like, I brought up the Nidafleur, hashtag Nidafleur, because we're talking about something that's actually going on with the show, and that you guys are paying attention, and if people wonder what that's about, well, they can give a listen to us, and that drives up our traffic. It's all circular, you see?
Yeah. And with that, I think it's time to put a bow on this. So any final words? You want to wish Nidafleur a
happy christening, happy marriage. Get some work. Let's go.
Yeah,
we'll get you a limo. Go to the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Oh God, I think we need to end there.
I mean, I've had 40 ounces of caffeine today. No, 80 ounces of caffeine today. So y'all are good. Yeah.
You drink a 2 liter of caffeine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I stay up till 5 a.m. like basically every night. I'm kind of insane, so.
Well, makes a lot of sense to me.
But I still love it. I mean, when I strive time to do this stuff.
Sure. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for me and for the caffeine-aholic. We need to get you into something like the Mountain Dew Ford Clinic or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, bye-bye.
Toodaloo from me to you.
Yep. Oh, I forgot something.
All right. We can get back on that. We didn't end the recording.
Splice no, we didn't. We didn't end the recording, but I'm going to leave this in. You know what we forgot to do?
Yep.
What did we forget to do?
What did we forget to do? I can't remember what we've forgotten. Go figure.
I'd like to thank our Patreon backers.
Oh, yeah. Surprise. Yeah, thanks for donating, y'all. I mean, we would love to see that. I mean, you don't have to do it, but it really helps us out a lot. And it helps generate more content that you would like to see, certainly. Like, make yourself a part of the show. And, I mean, I understand not everyone can. I mean, that's part of it. Every little bit helps, certainly. But if there's anything you have suggestions for me or otherwise like that, just let us know. It would be of great help.
Absolutely. So, I'd like to thank our wonderful patrons who give us money to do what we like to do, and that is talk about game shows and do videos on game shows. We have Alfonso Tyson, Brian Henniger, D3US, Don Pascal, Frank Driscoll, Ian McClinn, and Playa Bogart. We thank you all for supporting us and helping us create this wonderful thing. So, now, from Jessica Brand, I'm Cindy Sadman saying bye-bye.